بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, Alhamdulillah, in tonight's Taraweeh Salah, we completed the 12th juz of the Quran, going through three different surahs, and each one of these surahs is named after a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We commenced with Surah Hud, which is named after Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, the Nabi who was sent to the Qawm of Aad, the people of Aad. And thereafter we began with Surah Yusuf, where the entire incident and story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned, from the time that he was a youngster in the care of his father, right up until he went to Egypt, and he was then given a position of great prominence. And in the open, the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, towards the end of Surah Hud, Allah says, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, that all these incidents, these stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past, we narrate them to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the objective, the reason behind it is so that we may strengthen your resolve. We may give you courage, consolation, because in this world also we understand that when a person is going through some difficulty, some challenge, a person has some procedure, some operation that he's about to undergo, and the doctor says to him that there's nothing to stress about because this is something routine. Last week there was someone who underwent the same surgery, and look at how he recovered, he's out of bed, he's walking. The week before there was somebody else, and the week before that there was somebody else. When a person realizes that there were so many people before me who went through the same challenge as me, then it becomes much lighter, much easier for him to bear. He gets a great amount of courage and consolation. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned so that we may strengthen your resolve. We may grant you that courage, the consolation, so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now knows that there were people before me, Anbiya before me, who were also challenged. Their people also belied them, persecuted them, refused to accept the message that they brought. And just as they were successful and they came out having the upper hand, soon in a short space of time, I will also be successful. Allah will also give me the upper hand over my people. And then in the first verse of the 12th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that there is no creature that walks on the surface of the earth, إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, except that its sustenance, its provisions is an obligation upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, Allah is not obliged to do anything, but as though Allah has made it obligatory, Allah has made it necessary upon Himself, that I will take care of the sustenance and the provision of each and every creation of mine. The incident Hakim Tirmidhi rahimahullah has mentioned, that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he brought his entire tribe to Madina Munawwara, the Ash'ari clan. And after some time, they ran out of provisions, and they did not have any job, they didn't have anything to do, any means of income. So they appointed a person and sent him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for some assistance. It was a day where there was no food to eat on the table. So this person comes to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as he's about to knock on the door, he hears Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting Quran. And he's reading this verse, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that there is no creature, no creation of Allah, except that Allah has taken it upon Himself to sustain and provide for this creation of His. So this person hears this verse, and he becomes ashamed to ask for any assistance. So he returns and he comes back to his people. When he comes back to them, they, of course, are in waiting in anticipation. Perhaps he has brought some assistance. So he says to them, أَبْشِرُوا أَتَاكُمُ الْغَوْثِ, that, O my people, rejoice. Very soon some assistance is going to come your way. So his people think that perhaps he has requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he will send some assistance. Perhaps some food will be sent. And as they are waiting, they see two men coming from the distance, and they are carrying a large pot with them. The pot is full of bread, full of meat. And as we know, this was a dish that was not common in those times. It was regarded as a delicacy, as a luxury. So this pot is placed before them. They begin to consume. The entire tribe, the entire clan eats from here. And there is still food left over in the pot. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu says to his companions that, why don't we return this pot to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Perhaps he has some use for it. He can give it to somebody else. So they send two people. They take this pot back to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And they say to him that, O Nabi of Allah, we found so much of barakah in this food. It was so tasty also. May Allah reward you for sending this assistance for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies that I don't know what you are talking about. I didn't even know that you were in need. And I did not send any food your way. After they investigate, they finally call the person who they had sent initially. And then he relates the entire incident to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I had come to your door and I heard you reciting this verse. And I felt ashamed that if Allah is saying that I have taken it upon myself to provide for you, how can I now ask somebody for assistance? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that rejoice and accept the glad tiding. This is a direct provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the same way we find, of course, there's no time to go into the detail. A person has to make an effort. But as we discussed this morning also, whatever is written, whatever is ordained for a person will come his way. This is something, تَكَفَّلَ بِأَرْزَاقِ الْخَلْقِ كُلِّهِمِ حَاتِمَ الْأَصَمْ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ says, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has taken it upon himself to provide for every single creation of his. The small insects, the fish in the sea, the birds that are flying in the sky, the ants that nobody can even see, Allah provides for them. Therefore, it is not difficult for Allah to provide for you and I. Thereafter, we began Surah Yusuf. And there are various lessons that we can take from Surah Yusuf. As Maulana mentioned on the first night, it is impossible to condense all of this. But just a few lessons that we can take. In the opening verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dream that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had seen. And Allah then tells us what was the first reaction of this young boy. At that time he was not yet a Nabi, he was just a youngster, perhaps in his teens. So as soon as he sees this dream, he sees the stars, the moon and the sun are bowing down in prostration before him. This is a very strange dream, a very amazing dream. And his first reaction, which Quran records, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبَ وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ The first person he confides in is his father. He goes to his father, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, O my beloved father, I have seen in a dream that these 11 stars, the sun and the moon, are prostrating before me. And this is a great lesson for us to take, for the youngsters to take as well, that although we may have many friends, many colleagues, many peers who we are in school with, in university with, but the person who will always have our best interest at heart will be our parents, our father, our mother. And therefore, whenever there is a situation that is strange, something bothering us, something that is affecting a person, he needs some advice, some counsel, some guidance, then a person's first port of call should be his parents. A person's father will have complete shafqat, complete compassion, complete love for the child, and he will never guide a person down the wrong path. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam comes to his father, he asks for advice. And then we see the advice that Yaqub alayhi salam gives to his son. Immediately he says to him, Ya Bunayya, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. O my beloved son, don't narrate this dream to your brothers. In other words, you have seen something that is a source of joy for you, a source of happiness, a source of glad tidings for you. But it does not mean that everybody else shares in your joy. Again, a very great lesson that you and I can take. In today's time, a person gets some achievement, some dunyawi achievement. Perhaps a person is blessed with a child. A person buys a new vehicle. He's got some promotion in his job. And our first instinct is to try and share it with the world. A person posts it all over social media. So remember that while you may be rejoicing, Allah has blessed you with your second, your third, your fourth child. There is somebody who is going to be viewing that post, who perhaps his wife is barren. They have been trying 15, 20 years. They are unable to conceive. And it is natural that in his heart some sort of jealousy is going to come. The hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-aynu haqqun. The effect of the evil eye, somebody looking at your wealth or your possessions or your achievements, is a reality. It will have a negative effect on a person. So he says to his son, don't narrate, don't relate your dream, even to your own brothers. Inna ash-shaytana lil-insani aduwwun mubin. And then he clarifies and he explains that shaitan is an open enemy to man. Shaitan will look for some means of trying to remove this bounty from you. You are now happy, shaitan will now make you sad. Shaitan will take away this achievement from you. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam takes the advice of his father. And then further in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains after his brothers had thrown him into the well. The incident is very famous, we all know about it. He was then rescued by a group of travelers. He was taken to Egypt. And there he was enslaved. And he finds himself in the home of the minister. And here Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam faces a very great challenge, a great test. Again, something you and I can relate to, a person in the workplace, in the business place. where there is temptation, there are people of the opposite gender, and there is always that chance or that opportunity for a person to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah discusses the incident, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, that the woman of the house that he was residing in seduced him, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ, and she made all the arrangements, she locked all the doors, she made it almost impossible for him to escape. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ, and she says to Yusuf, why don't you come to me? Here I am available for you. Take advantage of me. So what is the reaction of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. Immediately he seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is faced with some temptation, he is about to succumb to his desires, he wants to give in to that lustful gaze or something further than that, so immediately a person should turn his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith it is mentioned, a person is tempted by shaitan, then immediately read, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Oh Allah, I am seeking your protection from shaitan. He is tempting me. He is asking me to break your command. You are now asking Allah to protect you. So he asks Allah for his protection. And then he recounts to Zulaykha, to this woman, that innahu rabbi ahsana mathwai. Mufassirin have difference of opinion, that either he is speaking about the master, the person whose house that he is living in, or he is speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, where he says, innahu rabbi, Allah is my Rabb, ahsana mathwai. Allah has given me such a beautiful place to live, or my master has given me such a beautiful place to live. In other words, when I am eating from this hand, how can I now bite the same hand? I am enjoying so many bounties, so many blessings. He has given me a roof over my head. He has given me food to put into my belly. How can I now break his command? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. If I am going to do this, this is zulam, this is oppression. And those who will oppress, then they will never be successful. So two things Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam does when he is tempted. Number one is that he seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, he recounts and he reminds himself of the favors of Allah. That Allah has given me so much, how can I now bite the hand that feeds me? And Allah then says, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّ. The situation was such that not only was she desirous of him, but naturally هَمَّ بِهَا. He also was desirous of her. A beautiful woman, a young man, all alone. So he was also desirous of her. لَوْلَا أَرَّآ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّ. Had he not seen this proof of Allah before him, in other words, had Allah not shown him all the bounties that Allah had given him and made him realize that he cannot break the command of Allah, كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. Allah says, in this way we averted and we protected him from this immodest action. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was from our chosen slaves. So like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected and safeguarded Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the same way, the promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that that person who will be tempted in this worldly life, and he will remind himself of the hereafter, he will remind himself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is before me, and he will remind himself of all the favors and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah's promise is that he will also protect and safeguard this person. Allah grant all of us chaste and pure lives, and grant us the true understanding of Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.